Welcome to the podcast, Coping Kit for Everyday Life. I'm Michelle Porter, and I'm here with my friend and dear colleague, Genevieve Lowry.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. We're super excited to get this started. And Michelle, I'm so excited to be doing this with you. We did spend a lot of time thinking about what to call our podcast. We wanted something that would speak to our child life people, but also something that connected to the larger community.
Yes, and that's where we came up with Coping Kit for Everyday Life. These days, we can really use a bag of tools to really help us deal with the both ordinary and extraordinary things that happen in our lives. We are hoping that our podcast is going to want to share with us and learn more about how you can create your own coping kit by us sharing with you all the different conversations that Genevieve and I have had over the years, and really talking about how we use our child life skills to support children and families, ourselves, and each other. Welcome, everyone, to Coping Kit for Everyday Life. And today we're going to talk about joy and how we can add that to our toolkit. Hey, Genevieve, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Michelle. Thank you for asking. It's been a long week, so I'm excited to figure out how to access some joy.
Yes, definitely. Joy, how do we access it? I was looking, you know, joy and like, how do you define it? And the Oxford Dictionary said, you know, joy, the feelings of great pleasure and happiness as a definition. And then I still said, you know what? I don't think it really defines joy. So then I said to myself, you know, what is joy? And I started saying, what does joy mean to me? Because I really felt like joy probably may have different meanings to different people. So when I was thinking about joy, I was thinking about it was something, you know, beyond happiness, something more inward kind of feeling of, you know, how can I say, I feel like almost like this authenticity, your true self. And when it's just this overall emotional feeling, and it's beyond happiness. I can't really, I'm grasping and I'm looking at different definitions that it is. But when you're seeing it, you know, it's like when you feel it, because I also wonder if, you know, because it's not quite happiness, and I feel like it goes deep as an emotion and a feeling.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about happiness, I think of happiness as like, I'm happy, I'm content, right? Like, it's sort of like you can be really happy and like smiling and all that stuff, but I can also be, you know, content and happy. I don't have to be like jumping for joy, right? And I feel like joy is, I think it is something that you might experience deeper, but I think it is exuded in maybe a more physical way where we use expressions like jump for joy, right? Like, so that there's this sort of like, you know, this idea that there's an effervescence to it, right? Like there's like a bubbly or a something is like an outgrowth. And maybe that's what you're thinking of is the ways in which it's so deep inside of us. And when it comes out, it's bigger. When we are experiencing joy, it feels bigger than our own bodies, maybe.
Yeah, because I think it feels bigger than just that happy feeling. You know?
I agree.
Yeah. And then I was just thinking about, you know, in the midst of COVID and like all the things happening, like what kinds of things, you know, bring me joy? I don't know. I feel like it's different in a sense. I think, you know, I feel like now, I know we talked about a couple of weeks of Reiki, when we talked about the Reiki practice of like being in the moment. I feel like, you know, part of that joy is like, you almost have to stop and be in the moment to actually enjoy it almost. I feel like with everything going on.
It's really interesting.
And that, you know, I think about like the time I spend, like family time, quiet time, you know, those moments of joy. And also singing. I feel like when I'm really singing, those who know me, I mean, I think I've used to be in choirs ever since I was like in fifth grade, you know, I sung in Carnegie Hall. That was my big thing, my big fun fact.
Ooh,
as well. Cool. But there's something about when I'm like really singing. And it's that feeling, you know, of joy, I feel like comes over me, because sometimes I can be in a mood. And if I really just start to sing something that really uplifts me, I think sometimes like spiritual music or something, like something within me, I feel that joy. I think those are moments that I can identify.
Joy more like a transcendent feeling, like it's something that transcends us. It's interesting because I, in listening to you, I think about those moments when you're so absorbed by what you're doing that the rest of the world kind of fades away, right? And in that sense, then joy becomes somewhat meditative, right? Like that there's a sort of restorative and meditative practice to it, that you're so engrossed in whatever activity because there's something about that activity, whether it takes so much brain power to focus or something, or you're enjoying it so much that you're lost in it. Right. Yeah. So there's like a transcendent quality to that. I mean, the other day I was talking to somebody and I was working on a project and it was a crafty project. I was making neurons out of beads. And I was so engrossed in the process that I sort of, the rest of the world just kind of fell away. And I forgot about all the other things I was supposed to be doing or working with. So all that stuff kind of just sort of, you know, rolled off of me. And I remember saying to somebody later, like, that is one of the first times in a long time that I really felt a real sense of joy in what I was doing because I was so engrossed in the process of it. Right. And that's sort of describing when you're talking about singing and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think kids do that when they're playing. So like if we think about our own practice, that we see that in when children are playing, and even kids in the hospital have all this other crap that's going on for them and all these other worries and fears and concerns. And yet they come to the playroom and that becomes that escape. And all of a sudden they're able to sort of be themselves again in those moments and really experience a sense of release. And, you know, we think about joy, and as I described it before, like this jumping for joy, it's a sense of release, right? So there's something about that also. It really is a hard emotion to put your finger on, isn't it?
It really is. And the more you look at it, I feel like this is going to be a part two series. I feel like I'm going to dig a little deeper with it. But I think the part about we saw kids playing, mm-hmm. like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I love to like just watch kids when they are like deep in their play. Kids who have like this imaginative play and they're like just doing their own thing. Sometimes, you know, when they allow us to kind of be a part of it, but just watching that, you know, and like, and it's funny how as adults, somehow we lose that, you know, like how kids innately know how to play, no matter where you are, no matter where a kid is in the world, all kids know how to play and how they can be in that space and how it just brings them, you know, such joy. And how as adults, somehow, I don't know what happens, but we lose that because as adults, I think there's such a value in play also that I wonder if that's another way that we can tap into our joy and not even realize it because we've kind of moved away from that sometimes.
Yeah,
and I thought it was interesting. One of the articles that we were reading, a woman by the name of Barbara Fredrickson, she developed this Royden and Bill theory. And then her research was really talking about joy, the states of joy. And how she's saying how in her research, learning how like those states of joy actually are important for the nourishment of the brain. And, you know, just how people who deeply are experiencing or feeling joy, it increases their creativity, their knowledge and their resilience. So that really spoke to me as like, you know, if we were able to kind of tap into that joy, you know, how does it open up our creativity? You know, how does it open up that resiliency? And I think, you know, we've talked a lot about resiliency, I think, especially now through COVID, like, you know, again, like if we're able to tap into that, how that would help us. And I know we talked about like, you know, what does joy mean? And I do want our audience to think about it because I think it's a deep question. Like what brings you joy and what does joy mean to you? Because I think it's definitely individual. I don't think it's like, you know, the Oxford, you know, definition does not define it. I think it is an individual thing. Yeah. But I also was reading one of the other articles that talked about articles, how do we feel more joy every day? And we'll have it in the notes for you. But they talk about the capacity to experience your joy is ever present. So it's always there. It might be deeply buried to protect you from being disappointed or wounded, but it's still there. And I wonder sometimes is, you know, where has it been covered up or where has it been buried? So, you know, when we ask that question of what brings you joy and you're like, I really don't know, may involve digging a little bit deeper to figure out, you know, where it is or even those moments that it shows up. Because I think that it may be in pockets of moments. It may not necessarily be like, I feel joy all day long. Probably not.
That would be exhausting.
But, you know, but like, when does it show up? You know, like how I talked about that moments when I'm singing, like, when does it show up? You know, a child when they're playing, like, where do we see it? I think that's going to be interesting to explore.
It's also really interesting to think about the idea that, you know, children have this capacity, right? We see it all the time when we can work with children, watching them play and really losing themselves in those moments and being absorbed by that, and play is fun. And so there's a sense of joyousness in that, can be a sense of joyousness in that for children. But as we get older, this idea that you're talking about from this article that you read was like, you know, that burying it, right? Like, and maybe that's because there's this sort of sense of, as an adult, of being fearful of being perceived as doing something that seems childlike or childish, right? And so that sense of real exuberance and joy and really being expressive about something is sort of maybe looked down upon, to the point where we learn not to show those emotions, not to show joy, not to be joyful. And that maybe that there are only safe spaces, that there are some safe spaces to do that, or safe places, you know, holidays, celebrations, you know, that those are times where it's okay to be a little goofy, a little silly, a little joyful, a little, you know, or something along those lines. But that as adults, we've kind of learned to, you know, cement over that stuff. This article made me feel like, okay, that stuff is still there. How do I excavate to get to it?
Right? How do you get to it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and if it's there, like, how do we get to it? And then where do we find those spaces that we can experience it? And are there spaces, question, you know, I'm thinking of, like, you know, where, maybe the question is like, where in my life am I experiencing joy? And where in my life would I like to experience joy? So, like, you know, are there places that you may want to, but you aren't right now? And then how do you get to those places also?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. But you said something earlier in the podcast about authenticity also. And, you know, just through this conversation right now, it feels like joy is an emotion that really taps into one's authenticity, because you are it. We talked about it being transcending. It sort of exudes from you. It comes from deep within. It's a part of who you are, that it's always there. So there is a sense of authenticity to it. So maybe it's looking for those, you know, those moments where you are present and present to yourself, right? So present to what it is that you really enjoy doing, and allowing yourself permission to enjoy doing it, right? Like, I mean, I started taking, I've told you this before, I don't know that I've said on the podcast yet, but I started taking an adult tap class. And that is every week, partly because I have to concentrate so hard on the steps, because, you know, as an older woman, it's a little harder to shift from right to left and keep my balance, and, you know, core is not as strong as it used to be. But although I'm concentrating and I'm not like, whoa, this is so much fun, I do love it. And I do feel a sense of joyfulness when I am tap dancing, even though I kind of stink at it. Like, I'm okay. Like, it's also in that moment, like, I don't care what everybody else thinks. And that's a sense of joy also, right? Like, I don't care what these other people think, if I'm good or I'm not good. I don't care if I think I'm good or I'm not good. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying myself. This is something I'm getting pleasure and excitement out of. I look forward to going. I couldn't wait to buy the shoes. Right? Like, looking for those kinds of moments. And then how do I build on that, right? So how do I carry that sense with me and create more spaces or more opportunities like that?
Yeah, definitely. And I really, you know, again, tapping into that, creating more opportunities. And I also want to say, there may be, what's resonating with me too, there may be audience members who may feel like, you know, Rochelle, like, right now I'm in a space where I feel like I can't experience joy. And I think that's good awareness. And to think about, if there weren't any barriers or anything in your way, like, how would you experience joy? Maybe start there. And then maybe then work your way to finding that joy. Because I think that, you know, if it is indeed buried deep in, it may have to start with just really thinking of the possibilities of where joy can be in your life, and work your way to it also as well.
Oh. Yeah. How do you work? Like, I don't know. What does that look like? What is working your way to it? Right. Like, so.
So, yeah, I think, you know, yeah, it's kind of figuring out, like, what would be possible if I could experience joy, and really kind of thinking about what could be possible. And then if you think about those possibilities, so say, what could be possible if I experienced joy? Maybe I would be more creative. I'm just throwing something out there. So if you were more creative, then we go back some steps. Like, you know, what are the steps I can take towards being more creative? Or what does creativity mean to me? So figuring out what that is, and then kind of think about, okay, what are one thing I can do to move towards being creative in a way that has meaning to me? One thing. It could be a thought. It could be an actual action to do. It could be a lot of different things, because before you can actually do something, you have to have that thought of it to then be able to think about how to do it. So just something to think about, because I think that sometimes if you do feel like, you know, I just don't know what that is. Also, just look around. I think sometimes too, look around and see what things kind of may spark joy in you, or just by looking, observing. Because I think sometimes it may not have to be this big grandiose thing that can bring you joy. I think that's the thing too. This could be lots of moments of joy in the smallest thing, but it has meaning to you within.
Yeah, it feels like it can be in relationship with others by watching someone else. Sometimes you get ideas for joy, or you experience joy by being around others, watching someone else who is having a joyful moment or a joyful experience or a time when they feel happier or whatever. And I also just see, like, you know, experimenting, right? Go outside, go for a walk and be mindful of the experience, right? What are you looking at? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? Rather than your mind spinning and spinning, spinning on all the things that you should or you ought to be doing, right? Like that you're stopping those kinds of thoughts to really be present in a moment, that joy feels like it should be something that you are grounded in a space or grounded in a time, grounded in the present moment in a way. And it's meant to be shared. I mean, you can certainly have joy by yourself and be alone in the world and yada, yada, yada. But there's something also about sharing that with someone else. I think that maybe that also multiplies that experience, right? Like when you're laughing so hard, or you see someone laughing so hard and you start laughing, you're like, I don't even know what you're laughing at, but you were laughing, so it made me laugh, right? It's like that contagion of it,
yeah,
right? That sort of passes it along. And then you start to be like, okay, how did that happen?
Yeah, I think about sometimes you have a kid who'll laugh, they'll have that belly laugh, and next thing you know, you're laughing. And it's just something about it that just makes you want to laugh. I totally get that.
Yeah.
And I think it's just different, you know, and again, it's a journey. I feel like all of this is a journey, and different things will make you, you know, will help you find that joy. Or some people may want to look at it, maybe an inner peace kind of thing also. Mm. Something about being still and just being in the moment is a possibility. I know we were looking at another article that talked about like 7 ways to find inner peace. And one thing is talked about being still, or talking about let music move you, like different things that you can do to kind of help. Again, that may stimulate that. And then the other thing that resonated with you, one last thing, was the rethink the should do and ought to do list. I think, you know, also really thinking about that. I mean, one of the things that my clients do is that they do a log, and they kind of, every 30 minutes, they kind of write like what they're doing. So, you know, I ate, I went to a meeting, whatever, because every 30 minutes, and then you put next to it something you should do and something that you wanted to do, to really look at how many shoulds are there in your life. Because again, the shoulds are the expectation. And then how do we change that mindset? Some of the stuff, yes, obviously you have to go to work, but how do I change that mindset that I'm able to work, you know, and reframe it in a different way? So just things to think about, like how that can also bring joy in your life, things that are happening to you.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I think certainly during the pandemic, I must have been asked a gajillion times, you know, like icebreakers to meetings or just openers and things like that. Like, hey, write, tell everybody what brings you joy. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what brings me joy. And that in and of itself made me feel, but, you know, so like, this is, you know, it's helpful to just really sit and think about it and talk about it, like, and define it and be like, okay, what is it? Because it's going to be different for everybody also, right? Like, and I do think that there is something about connecting with yourself in a moment, but connecting through either relationship to others, relationship to nature, through art, through music, through creativity, imagination, that those are things. Going back to watching kids play, that's what they're doing, right? They're present in that moment. They're connecting to their creativity. They're being imaginative. They're also making decisions. They're doing things. It's all encompassing. And I feel like that's what we need to capture, that and figure out how to bring that into sort of a, what does adult play look like that could possibly bring us joy, right? That sounded gross, but I didn't mean it gross.
Play, what can we do? As we play.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think if we can definitely bring play back into our lives as adults, I think it's key. It's something we lose, but I think it definitely would tap into our joy.
Right. I think that brings us to our takeaway and our reflection piece here. So what's your takeaway from today's conversation, Rochelle?
I think my takeaway is you know, taking time to be still. I think to be in the moment and really just think about like what are the things that do bring me joy, and just take a moment to actually, you know, like you talked about, like witnessing it. It could be within self, but then also with others and things like that, to really, I think, take notice. Because I think sometimes we may not take notice. So I think for me, that being still and taking notice, I think was key for me.
Yeah. Or maybe you get like a bit of it pops out and you put it back in, and maybe take the whole lid off and let it all come out, right? Like you look for those moments where it peeks out. Is it okay? I think my takeaway from this is, yeah, like looking for opportunities for it, right? Like looking for the places where I can increase it, where I am experiencing it, and recognizing that that's what I'm experiencing, and then being able to say, okay, where are the other places where that's happening also in my life, and connecting through and finding ways to connect with that joy that lives in me already, like through art and music and dance and conversation and, you know, nature and community, and looking for it in those spaces as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So many different places that we can find it. So I think, you know, what I would want our audience to do is just take some time and explore this a little bit. You may have the answer already. Maybe you have some things that just pop out to you that bring you joy and you can speak to. But I think some journaling might help to just kind of think about, like, what is joy for me? What does that mean? You know? And then some prompts that may help you to figure that out is like, what thoughts or feelings come up when I'm experiencing joy? Maybe, you know, do this kind of self-reflection in the sense of kind of just observing, like, you know, and just listing, like, what are all the things that brought me joy this week as I go throughout the week? And just really just kind of taking a look at that as a starting point to then be able to figure out, like, once I kind of identify some of those things, then how do I incorporate that into, you know, my daily life, into my coping, that I make sure I have the spoonful of joy, you know?
A spoonful of joy.
A spoonful of joy.
Spoonful of joy.
You know, in my life, every day, the takeaway from that. So definitely want our audience to really come and reach out to us and let us know your thoughts on this.
Yeah, this one especially, because clearly we're confused by it.
By it, because it's just so big. It just has so many different meanings. So definitely would love to hear from audience, like, what resonate with you. If there's any topics related to joy you want to hear more about, because I definitely think this is a part two, because there's a couple things I didn't even get to that I thought were interesting. I think we may bring back to talk about.
We may revisit this.
Revisit joy part two. Or maybe a spoonful of joy. That's what we're going to call it.
That's what I thought I was going to call it. I was actually thinking to myself, I'm going to rename this session to Spoonful of Joy.
Then we can do that too. But definitely thank you for joining us today. If you haven't an opportunity, it's the first time listening to our podcast about joy. We do have several other podcasts. Please listen to those. We definitely would love to hear your feedback on future topics. So until next time.
Yes, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us today for our episode of Coping Kit for Everyday Life. We hope you take away something from this podcast that sparks your imagination, or you discover a new tool for your coping kit. Remember to check out our resources and exercises in today's podcast notes. We would love to hear from you. Please share your comments, questions, or suggestions for future shows. You can find our emails in our podcast notes. Look forward to hearing from you.